If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes. We're back.
Yeah. Yo.
Knock him out the box. Episode
42.
That's your time to shine.
That's it, baby. Master of accents, master of pronunciation.
Ridiculous.
Master of counting.
Master ridiculous. Of master counting. Of what?
Counting.
Counting?
Yeah. I don't see you coming up with episode numbers, motherfucker. You're like, yo, B, what episode is this?
43. My name is Vinny Paz. This is my co-host with the co-most, the left-right kid, Brendan Long.
See, it's left-right-left kid, and that, now you even messed that one up because you can't
count. I'm half out of it. That's true. I'm half out of it.
Yo, what up? What up?
What up? What up? What up? What up? Let's get right into this. Some news and notes. Excuse me. All right, fights WBC ordered and approved today.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
Yo, is Suleiman just like, I want to fuck up fun stuff for the fans?
Yes.
So I'm gonna order shit.
I mean, yo, man, he's definitely, they talk about sins of the father. This guy is definitely embracing that. If anything, rather than getting away from it, he's definitely embracing it. Wilder, Andy Ruiz, I'm not mad at that. Errol Spence, Keith Thurman, Benavidez, Plant, we're good with Shakur Stevenson, Isak Cruz. The winner of that's gonna get the winner of Lomachenko Haney, which we're gonna get into. Teofimo Lopez, Sandor Martin, Sebastian Fundora, Tony Harrison. Apparently, the winner of that is gonna get the winner of Charlo Tim Tzu, which is coming in January. And Steph Fulton Figueroa too, which I'm good with. But what is with? I mean, what, the WBC. Look,
and,
man.
And what did they order for Better Biev after Anthony Yard? They ordered him to fight somebody too, didn't they? Or Yardy? How do you say his name? Is it Yard or Yardy?
Yeah, it's Yard. I think the reason I didn't bring that up, B, is because I think that. When we get into Bivol, so we were saying Dimitri Bivol, and then someone was saying Bivol months back.
Right.
Now this week it was Bivol.
Bivol.
So it's the stress on B now. Before it was this, the.
I'm sticking with my Bivol.
Me too. That's a knock 'em out the box pronunciation of it.
Yeah.
Dimitri Bivol.
I'm the master of accents, master of pronunciation. Master
no, you
of
are not. You butcher every pronunciation. The guy's name will be John Smith and you butcher it.
That's, this is, these are lies that you're telling.
They're not.
Yeah, yo, you're telling, listen, the knock 'em out the box boys, like the fans, you know, mm-hmm. the knockers, mm-hmm. as we call them.
Billy, do you like that one? The knockers? No. Billy says no.
Billy disapproves?
Not a fan.
I thought he'd love it.
Yeah. It's, yo, our knockers?
What is a little
it makes me feel
entendre.
Weird.
It makes you feel weird?
Yeah, makes me feel
our
weird.
Our awards are the knockies and our listeners are the knockers.
Well, we might have to put it out to the to the
voting
fans, a tweet
to vote on that.
Tweet
who doesn't want to be a knocker?
A knocker.
Hashtag knockers.
The knockies are coming soon, sooner than we would think.
Knockies are right around the corner.
They
We're going to have to set up categories. And,
we get drunk for the Nockies, right?
Yo. And we got to dress up in tuxedos this year.
Uh-huh.
Or at least those tuxedo t-shirts.
Or it would be great if we had like cutouts of them and just like our faces were above cutouts of tuxedos. Yeah.
All right. So listen, the Knockers.
Do we discuss any of that just because a sanctioning body means nothing to A, to us, and B, in reality, to nobody, unless they don't want to get stripped. And the fact of the matter is there. I don't know if you want to speak on this, if you feel like you have a sense of it. I feel like it's 50-50 at this point with people caring whether or not they get stripped or not.
Yeah, I mean,
because I'm like beating a dead horse with it, but I always go back to Pereira when he was the man
with no belt.
Yeah, you know, and didn't care and came out. Was like, I don't care. Everyone knows I'm the guy. I'm the ring guy and I'm not paying these sanctioning fees.
Right.
So I
don't know. Suleiman, he's also doing some crazy shit like where he's not recognizing Russian fighters too to like protest Russia.
But he's
missing the mark with the individual guys that are just trying to make a living.
Of course.
I think it depends on the I'm trying to think of the term, but like the seasoning of the fighter, the where the fighter is in his career.
Understood.
You know, a young guy captures a belt. That would be terrible if he gets stripped, you know, because it does garner a larger split and recognition, and the TV guys can call him the champ.
You're absolutely right. A guy like David Morrell absolutely cares about that title.
Right. So on the flip side of things, like the other guys you named, like say a Spence or anybody really that's been on TV more than like half a dozen times.
Guys
like,
that are considered stars within boxing. We're not talking about mainstream.
They don't care. They don't give a shit. They don't care.
If I look at all those again that we ripped through, and again, Suleiman, a lot of stumbles. In general, the Russian thing, it's a big stumble. You know, I mean,
there's a way to do it, and that would be don't sanction fights in Russia.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But sure, don't bring money there.
Right. But don't punish the guy who fights, who's a Russian national. I mean, unless you have him, you know, committing atrocities personally.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
He's Putin's henchman, then fine.
Right.
I hate the Teofimo Lopez Sandra Martin fight. If he considers himself elite, and we both know that he does,
right?
He won't stop talking about it, that he's elite.
He loves
so himself. I'm not, you know, all right. Look, we knew it was coming, but Devin Haney, Lomachenko negotiations are officially underway for Undisputed. Both Haney and Top Rank reps have confirmed that. You and I were a little bit, I don't want to say unsure, but definitely did an eye roll because it seemed absolute. And then you bring those Bill and Devin Haney into this equation and the way they behave.
Yeah.
We weren't as...
If Haney is comfortable making the weight, I think it gets shored up pretty quickly, and they make a date soon.
Yeah.
I'd
like to see it. You know, I'd like to know by next show, you know, the deal there.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the camps are concerned, at least on Lomachenko's side, they want it. Haney's of course stated that he wants it. He's called Loma out, multiple times over the years. So now he has the opportunity to do that. And, you know, we could see that fight, I'm thinking like in the winter, right?
First quarter of
2023. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. March, April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we reported this before, but Benavidez has also signed his contract for the Caleb Plant fight. So both have signed, and yep. It's supposed to be January.
Which that's fantastic.
That's great because it's quick off of Plant's knockout of Durrell. I didn't want the PBC 8 months, 9 months, 10 months.
I mean,
so that's good.
I have my opinions about how that got made. We'll talk about one of the guys in that division who doesn't have a lot of pro fights. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but I don't think either guy wants any of that. And I also think both guys looked at who they'd have to face if they move up. And really the only person left are each other for anything that means anything.
Oh, and, I don't think either one of them wants it with what it means to go up.
To go up. They don't want it with Bivol. They don't want it with Beterbiev. And I, you know what? And even like a Zerto fight would do nothing for them.
No, it's all risk, no reward.
Right.
You know?
So the other thing too, is I believe the WBC said the winner of that fight will be Canelo's mandatory. Mm-hmm. So at 68. So they'll get, if whoever wins that fight will get back-to-back-to-back paydays.
Yeah.
Payday. You know that Canelo.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, I'm excited for that. I think there's a history of those two don't like each other.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good lead up, I think, and fun to watch.
Definitely.
I reached out to a couple of people I know on Benavidez's team, and I said, what are the chances of this coming to New York? Meaning because Plant just fought in New York and blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they said probably not likely. But if they can't find a venue in either California or Vegas.
I was going to say, I wonder what their first choice is. Is it California or Vegas?
California and or Vegas. Plant lives in Vegas. Obviously everyone knows.
He's from the South, right?
Correct. He's from Tennessee.
And Benavidez is from Arizona?
Yeah, Phoenix.
Yeah, so
it's either
Tennessee and Phoenix aren't huge places for big fights. Selling a local guy.
Yeah, but Plant is Plant's based out of Vegas for like the last 10 years. So I heard it's Vegas or LA. And if they can't get a venue there, they may look elsewhere. New York would be like the third or fourth choice.
Well, I think you have to look West Coast of the U.S. when you're talking about a Mexican-American fighter. You know what I mean? Because the fan base is massive.
Right.
All right. Eddie Hearn has said that Anthony Joshua's next fight will now take place in March. He added that the winner of Dillian White versus Jermaine Franklin on November 26th is front runner to be opponent.
The fans didn't see that, but I shook my head at just even the thought of. The Fury fight's the one anyone cares about.
Yeah. Handsome Eddie also said that they could make Canelo versus the Bivol rematch for Canelo's undisputed 168 world titles. And then if Bivol wins, try to go back to back and make Beterbiev for undisputed light heavyweight. I don't know if he's talking out his ass because he can't, you know.
He's got no leverage now.
He's got no leverage, right? You know. He said Canelo's next fight will take place in May. Still, I thought he was going to miss it with the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he'll be back. He said he should be fine to resume punching in 2 months after he went after he got that wrist surgery. I don't know what day it was. I saw a picture of it. You know what
Did
I mean?
You?
Like kind of recently, anything. It was just it was like one of his accounts and it was just a picture of his wrist.
Mm.
So if he could start punching and say like late December, then that makes sense. You know?
Okay.
Usyk Fury for undisputed is being targeted to take place no earlier than February 18th and no later than March 4th.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So we'll get that. That's huge.
Yigas Klima said, yeah, that's huge. That's huge. It's the biggest. Is it the biggest heavyweight fight since Lennox? was undisputed.
Yeah. In terms of everything.
So after the disaster of Eubank Jr. and
Connor Benn,
and you and I always, you know, take our little swipes at Eubank Jr. because he's so unlikable. He actually did nothing wrong.
Right.
In this situation, they're saying it, they're in talks for a fight with Liam Smith on either December 17th or early 2023. We keep asking each other, is he ever going to fight an elite guy? Before.
No, and I mean, he fought Billy Joe Saunders, right? Lost. Who else has he fought as far as whatever?
Yeah. No,
he's old now.
De La Hoya has confirmed that Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia is agreed, but the broadcaster needs to be resolved. Quote, the promoters have done their job. We've come to terms on everything. Now up to the network, Showtime, DAZN for the fans, make it happen. I don't believe that.
You're telling Oscar, me those two guys, wickedly popular, that no one wants to put that fight on? Bullshit.
That's the part you don't believe, or you can't believe that this isn't a Tyson, Lennox Lewis, Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather situation where it's the opposite. And both, but opposite of what you're saying, and they're both horny for it, and each one is like, "No, you're not getting this," and the other one's like, "Well, you're not getting this."
You mean the fighters,
the networks,
well, the networks? Yeah, no, that's what
cutting
I'm saying.
Their like, nose despite their face.
I find it hard because they're not that big as the guys you said.
No. It's a very big fighters fight. It's a very big boxing head fight. These guys are, despite what they tell you. The Tank is a star and he sells places out, which he does. The pay-per-view numbers aren't there.
No, and he's not any of the guys that we mentioned.
It's the same with Ryan. Ryan sells out places for being a media influencer, but those the numbers aren't Oscar numbers. They're not Mayweather numbers. They're not Pacquiao numbers.
I mean, we just lost Crawford Spence, right? We lost a huge fight. I think... guys of this magnitude, this isn't like hundreds of millions of dollars. I think that some terms could be. So someone could come to terms here. I don't always believe Oscar. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Oscar coming to the aid of Bud got pretty entertaining because he started cutting promos on Heyman.
On Heyman, yeah. 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 So
nothing.
It's all grain of salt shit. Yeah.
All right. Look, you want to talk about Vasyl Lomachenko, Jermaine Ortiz.
Sure.
I believe I picked a ninth round KO for Loma. He had him reeling in the ninth. It was about to be Pazzy picks. I have something to say about that.
I had a tenth round knockout.
Initial reactions, B.
Ortiz is Loma's taking longer to warm up. It just comes with age.
Mm-hmm.
And Ortiz is a problem for everybody in that division. I underrated him. I did sing his praises on here. I underrated him by saying that I thought that Loma, much smaller guy, was going to knock him out. This is a formidable opponent, skilled tactician, rugged guy, Ortiz.
Well, we both said that we've seen him. We liked what we saw, mm-hmm. that he's really good, but that there's levels. And he showed that he can hang.
Yeah, he can hang. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He can probably hang with anyone there.
Right. He's not like a big fight town like New York or Philly or L.A. He's from Worcester. So
I do want to say this, though, B. This fight and this Loma win, which wasn't a robbery, which wasn't super close. For those of you guys, you know, our supporters, our listeners, they were reading Twitter, Instagram. It was sort of embarrassing post fight to see robbery. He won 8 rounds. That stuff kind of embarrassing. And as much as bad decisions are black eyes on boxing, B.
Right.
Tons of uninformed people saying things like that are on a very, a much smaller level, but they're like smaller black eyes. Black eyes on boxing. And you see that.
When someone, I think I said this last episode, if someone.
You said it a lot of episodes.
I tweeted it maybe. Okay. If someone doesn't perform up to someone else's expectations and they don't look like Loma didn't look like a killer in this fight, right? He didn't look, it wasn't his best performance. So if people are thinking that they're going to get the 2016 Loma, 2017 Loma, and they got this version of Loma, then maybe they were disappointed and they automatically start to see things through, you know, kind of a skewed lens. I think I scored it 7-5. You scored it 8-4, right? Or 9-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8-4. No problem with 9-3.
Right.
No problem with 9-3.
Like, so maybe I gave Ortiz some, most people I talked to had an 8-4, that no boxing had an 8-4 for Loma, right? It's not a dominant, it's not like a 120-108 victory. But it's a clear cut victory. Not every win is going to be a huge wide margin. It's a pretty big margin, 8-4.
We've also talked about in the past, B, there can be tight fights
right.
that are 118-110, where you're like, right. this guy was kind of a little bit in every round,
right.
but
right, but he just wasn't there.
But
yeah,
look,
Ortiz fought really well. He should be proud of himself. I think he'll be a world champ one day. Again, he's a big guy for that division.
Big guy.
Haney's a big guy for that division. Loma
not
said
that
it.
We haven't said over. Yeah, Loma said this guy's lightweight,
heavyweight. He looks like heavyweight.
Not that we haven't said this ad nauseum, but you know. I lost my train of thought. I wanted to say, though.
You wanted to say that Loma's probably small for that division.
I know that he, yeah, I mean, right. he should be at 130. But I do want to say this in regard to this fight, Jermaine Ortiz, et cetera, et cetera. The future dictates how good, bad, or ugly this win was for Lomachenko. If this guy comes out, fights a real guy at 35 right away,
yeah, if, I mean,
beats him or dominates him. It looks different,
right?
If they put him in with Jorge Linares next and he loses, you go, eesh.
Right?
And Loma, you know,
maybe Loma slipped a little bit, right? So look, Loma did. I think Loma's starting a little slow. The last few fights we've seen, right? Or two of the last three fights. That could be just due to the fact he is. How old is he now? 35.
34.
Right. And his style is not a style and fighting really above where most people feel he should be. That's not, and his resume is incredible. You know, it's like 16 title fights or out of 17 fights or something like that, or 18 fights. I mean, it's actually absurd. With that said, you know, Ortiz looked good again. Did what we said what he did nicely was when Loma pivoted and, you know, would use gets off like a weird angle and usually rips off two or three shots. Ortiz was doing a good job of pivoting with him and keeping Loma in front of him to kind of negate those angles. After a while, it just became too much. And actually, Loma started walking him down in some of the later rounds. But Ortiz had a ton of heart. And just when you thought Loma was going to get him, Ortiz came firing back. So it was a good fight. Fun to watch. It exceeded my expectations. What do you got, Vin?
I just have a couple more things before we move on. And that's that the 9th round, he had him seriously hurt. I don't want to deep dive. We spoke about the Richard Comey fight. He hit him with that left hand and crumbled him. Comey somehow got up. He had him seriously hurt and wobbled and was looking to the corner. We don't know what's going on there with us. Is this just, is it killer instinct? Is it ego? Yo, I'm so much better. Stop this. To me, Lomachenko could have stopped him in the ninth when he flew his head with just pressure and combinations.
Right.
I don't know.
Does he not have that extra gear anymore?
I think every person
that I talked to about the Colme fight was like, that was a load of shit. Like, put the guy out or don't. You know what I mean? Like, don't waste your energy.
Yes, and no. And I said to you, is there something in him that they became? They're friendly. I think the reports of his demise are greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
find out next fight.
It seems like whatever you had that fight scored,
mm-hmm.
it seems like that was the score was given, followed up by he's lost a step from everyone. His haters, he's lost tons of steps. He's shot. He's going to get blown out by Haney. The people that support him give their score. Right. He's definitely lost a step. But Lomachenko, who's lost a step, is still better than most people.
Right.
I think
it's obvious he's lost a step. We have two long layoffs of surgery. You know what I mean? Again, tough resume, two Olympics, ridiculous amateur career. If a guy at 34 hasn't lost a step from when he was 29, show me a guy at 34 who hasn't lost a step from when he was 29. It's natural to lose a step. So if he's lost a step, that's, to me, that's no disrespect to Loma. It's just father time. He's going to fight a young, confident guy next in Devin Haney. I'm more excited for it now than I was when it was talked about over a year ago.
Me too.
I think Haney's gotten better. And yes, I think Loma has probably lost a step. I think it's going to be a lot closer of a fight than it would have been a year and a half ago.
I think what you have is very similar to what happened to the undefeated middleweight monster in Golovkin. And he fights a couple guys and gets hit a lot. Now, I'll take that fight now.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have.
Boxing's been like that, I think, since day one, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not saying it's a new thing. I'm saying it's happening for Loma, who has been like a guy that really, who wasn't ducking smoke, basically Tao.
Right.
You know, who I don't like, but he got in there, you know?
Right, he got in there, yep.
Dimitri Bivol, Zordo Ramirez. We weren't on air for that, were we?
No, we didn't. You mean, did we do a show?
Right. Yeah,
no, we didn't.
We both thought Bivol.
I was sick again last week. That's why we didn't do it.
We both thought Bivol would. I'm telling the our supporters what you and I thought.
Yeah.
That Bivol's too good and he'll outbox him. He kind of battered him a little bit.
Beat the shit out of him. First of all, dude, how big is fucking? What does Zerto weigh in at?
He looked 200 pounds, bro. I'm being honest. I know that sounds crazy.
No,
he had to weigh 200 pounds.
How the fuck did he make 68 for all this?
He looked like a small heavyweight to me.
Yes, he looked like a heavyweight. Yes,
like early, not current day heavyweights.
Yeah. When he, I was at a fight party when he took off the robe. Everybody at the fight party, everybody that was there knew boxing. It was two trainers, a former fighter, and a former manager. And everybody went, how fucking big is this guy? Jesus Christ.
He looked bigger to me than Michael Spinks did to me at heavy.
Right.
For whatever that means.
Vinny, he looked enormous. He took the fucking robe off. And I was like, and then when they were doing the instructions, I'm like, he's towering. I think they list Bivol at 6 foot, right?
Right. Bivol's so how big foot. Is this guy?
They list him at 6'2".
Yeah,
I mean, bigger.
He looked 6'6", 220 to me.
Dude, his arms come down to his fucking
to
ankles.
His feet.
Yeah. God, I was like, how big is this fucking guy? And then Bivol proceeds to just kick the shit out of him.
The history of this
show.
That
was not close.
You've been calling him Zordo. Yeah. I didn't give him a chance to win, but this was just, hey, another example. Remember when I talked about Bivol's footwork and someone said, someone got on me about it when I said pre-Canelo.
Yes.
When I said his, you know, I don't think his footwork is elite. Someone got on me and I did have an episode on how there's a positioning and, and
I remember. Ability.
Yeah. You saw it all again. You saw it all again. This dude's ability to put himself in certain positions. Yeah. I do, you know, and I saw again people saying his feet won him that fight. I'm like, stop acting like he's got Pernell Whitaker feet offensively.
Well, I mean, well, he does his feet. His feet are incredible. He's always in the right spot.
But that's where I get into like, okay, being in the right spot. Are we putting all of this on the footwork? Then I alter what I said pre-Canelo. If we're putting all of this under footwork, whereas I look at people who were able to do things with their feet, who weren't super athletic before.
There you go. That's the word. The athleticism and footwork. So footwork and athleticism, I think, are mutually exclusive, right? And then I think that I think that's where the difference. So you're talking about guys like Pernell who have. And Loma and who have like fancy footwork.
Right.
Where it's jumping all over the ring, flying behind the guy.
Right.
Okay, so athletic footwork. And I bet you Bivol can dance like a waltz better than everybody. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It's incredible how disciplined his footwork is. So yes,
We did have an episode on you and
I don't want to. Yeah, but I just wanted to like put it out there and make it.
No, absolutely, it's good because it's great. It's good stuff.
I think that people are still going to write in and say, "Hey, look, Vin, what are you talking about?"
Correct.
And what I'm trying to articulate what you mean. You mean athletically gifted fighters who, because sometimes they don't have great footwork. They're just like Roy Jones. Someone's going to kill me for saying this.
His footwork wasn't great. It wasn't.
No, it was actually bad.
If you think of athleticism, but I'm not talking about an all-time great. I don't think Broner's footwork is great.
But
he's super athletic.
But Roy's probably the most successful fighter, you know, in the modern era, the most athletic guy.
He did most things wrong.
Right, crossed his feet, went the wrong way, circled incorrectly.
He was just a freak, athletically speaking.
Bivol does everything right. And you have to have some semblance of athleticism, but he's just so fundamentally sound, you know, and that's really what it is. Roy wasn't fundamentally sound, and then it caught up.
I want to say, though, and respect, there was like, you and I were super high on Bivol. Then there was like this run.
Dude, everybody was. When Bivol was on HBO, he was the second. And I think we all got caught up in, all right, who's going to be the heir apparent to Triple G from the Eastern Bloc countries?
Yes, and that style.
And it was Bivol. He beat the shit out of Sullivan Barrera. He was just, you know, he was kicking the shit. Then he had these really like sort of like lackluster performances and maybe.
Against lackluster guys. And I remember asking you, B, is this a guy who gets up for who he's fighting?
And I think it is. I think he's got to have a good dance
partner.
I don't
think fighting Lennon Castillo and Craig Richards and Umar Salamov, is that going to get you up the way Canelo is?
Right. It's funny. I think HBO's thought process, too, was, okay, we'll throw him in there with these guys like we did with Triple G. We'll give Triple G some chumps to like to get. Look, Matthew Macklin was never like elite, right? But they knew that they were going to get a fucking head. Daniel Gill was never elite, but they knew they were going to get head smashing knockouts that were going to really build Golovkin for who he was. And I think with Bivol, he sort of fought to these like, you know, wide decisions where it was like, what the hell's going on here? What's he doing?
But when we talk about them being lackluster, I'm talking like we didn't even see this stuff we're talking about. Turning guys.
No.
He was throwing one twos, basically.
Right. I can win just doing this. I'm not gonna, maybe it was I don't want to reveal what I have, but also so with a lot of times with the Russian guys, in my opinion, and maybe someone can write into KOTBboxing@gmail.com and correct me. I think with them, this is with the Eastern European guys, especially the Eastern European guys, that they don't mind giving a workmanlike performance if they win. It doesn't matter. They're just there to get the W. Remember Golovkin famously said, this is my job.
Yeah.
This is job. What if you lose? If I lose, I lose. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is job.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what that's why he's still fighting now. Like they asked him, so you're going to retire? He's like, nah, I feel good.
Yeah.
I make the weight, so I'm going to do it.
No, there was no hesitation after the trilogy. Literally none.
Right.
Not, so like, he almost wanted to be like, are you fucking crazy? But he's stupid. Right.
So I think like with a guy like Bivol, I don't know. Again, someone write in, correct me. I'm not sure if it's that important for them to like look aesthetically pleasing to two guys like me and you. You know what I mean? And it's like, I got the W. What's the problem? You know what I mean?
I don't have an argument there for you.
Right.
I'm saying, let's say that is the case. This is why you have people around you.
Yes.
To explain to him, look, culturally speaking, as far as your temperament, right. I get it. Do you want these things that come along with being great?
Maybe he's like, I don't care. I just want to win. Who knows?
That's a problem. And it was becoming a problem for me.
It was becoming a problem, I think, for the networks booking him. They were like,
I'm telling you, bro, when you rattle off unanimous decisions against Lennon Castillo, Craig Richards, and Umar Salamov, and then me and you pick Canelo to beat you,
right?
Don't look like us, like you're crazy, and don't be a Twitter Ferdy Pacheco that say I knew he was going to be. Stop the madness,
right,
man? You thought he was too big, or Canelo was biting off more than he can chew, right?
Right.
If that's what you're going with, maybe I'll believe you. I probably won't, but maybe I'll believe you. If you told me, I saw something in that Lennon Castillo, but no, you didn't.
Right,
because everything was basic.
No, neither did the matchmakers, and neither did neither did the guys making Vegas odds.
Those people the matchmakers and Vegas watched the same fucking three fights that you and I did.
We all did.
Him throwing a beautiful jab and a nice right hand behind it, then coming back and being defensively responsible, and it being a fairly boring fight to watch, and you're envisioning a guy that comes forward while a little bit inactive, meaning Canelo. When he is active, he's throwing a lot of punches and spurts.
Yeah.
And that should be able to win him the fight.
Win him the fight. Now, we did say, I think the odds are too wide. I think people are underestimating moving up to light heavy. Bivol is a real, because remember, like before the Bivol Canelo fight, people were like, Canelo's going to stop this guy. This guy sucks. I'm like, he doesn't suck. He's had some lackluster performances, but look at his resume. This is a real deal light heavyweight. And I do remember, I think you and I commented on it. We watched some training stuff and we're like, yo, all he's throwing is straight punches in the training stuff. Every training video they show was him on the bag. You know what I mean? It was no like mitt work or anything like that. It was just him on the bag throwing 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. So, hey, he's really good. I'm excited for the... Now, on the flip side of that, the boxing fan public is really underestimating, in my opinion, Beterbiev. They're all it's Bivol's the flavor of the month. Right.
Yes.
Beterbiev's going to get his ass kicked. He's this. Now, I have heard people say logical stuff like, well, Beterbiev gets hurt a lot. Beterbiev is 37. You know what I mean? Okay, those are fair assessments. You know what I mean? Bivol's only 31. I forgot Bivol's only 31, by the way. Feels like he's been around forever. He's only 31.
The way you hear people up about Benavidez and Benavidez camp, and we're able to talk, luckily, we have not just one. We have two people close
to better in the
camp, you know, and there's those. Now, I could say them on air and everyone can roll their eyes and just go, everyone say that. I'm talking about someone who is a decorated amateur, a very good pro, and a current trainer.
He's a perennial contender. And who has
been around, everyone. Right. And it's that I've never seen a physical specimen like Arthur.
Like Better Biev, yep. Right.
Now, take that for what it is. Do you guys roll in your eyes and say everyone says that? Because a lot of people do. You know what I mean? But when it's from someone I know and have known a long time.
Yeah, it's and I have.
That's trained champions. Yeah, other than Better Biev.
And I have quite a few friends connected to the sport really close to certain stuff. And they're all like, yeah, Better Biev is the real, everybody says is the real deal. The only logical analysis of it, you know, maybe not being close, because this isn't a walk away fight for either guy, for Better Biev or Bivol. Yeah. Is that Bivol is younger, on a hot streak. Better Biev does get hurt. This is the only logical thing I've heard where people are like, look, man, don't be surprised if Bivol beats Better Biev. And you know what? I won't be surprised if Bivol beats Better Biev. I want to see what the odds come in at.
Surprised is a strong word for me.
I'm picking Better Biev now to win that fight.
If the fight was happening Saturday, I'm picking Better Biev, you know?
Me too. With that said, I think that's a great matchup. I hope it gets made. Better Biev has a fight with this Anthony Yard, which I think is kind of unnecessary.
So do I. So anyway, let's get that done. When is that supposed to be?
I think next year, yeah.
That's not even soon enough for me, because then you're looking at early summer for this. So yeah, Bivol's going to fight again.
Right.
Or should.
All right.
You have Shavkat Rakhimov.
What a name.
Zelfa
Barrett. That's a rap name.
I didn't watch that fight, so I have nothing for that.
Oh, bro, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it was a great fight. Yeah, Barrett was – Rakhimov is a – I don't know what the fuck he was doing the first half of that fight. He got knocked down. He was looking at the referee for an out because he was getting hit low from time to time. Then there's one of those things. He got hit low, and then Barrett was waiting to set him up for the uppercut. He was taking these little half steps back, and Rakhimov just comes forward, and he was slipping in these really nice uppercuts. And Rakhimov gets caught, boom, right on the button with an uppercut. He goes down, and he's looking at the ref going, he hit me low. They showed the replay like five times, like, dude, he didn't hit you low. You didn't even know what the fuck hit you. You know what I mean? And he went down.
Yeah.
Rakhimov is game, though, bro. He came back and beat Barrett. What a fight. Everybody that we were at was on the edge of their seats. Great fight. If you get a chance, Vin, watch it. And Rakhimov's got one of the best names in boxing.
I will, absolutely.
On a somber note, I don't know if you guys caught it. I didn't even realize it was on. I watched replays of both fights that were on the Showtime card. This David Morrell at 168 pounds, Cuban guy. If you guys haven't seen him fight, he's only got seven fights.
Eight fights now. He's really good.
You can watch all of his fights pretty quickly because they usually end relatively fast.
Seven of the eight were knockouts.
Yeah.
Seven of his eight wins.
He fought, Vin, help me with the pronunciation of this.
Idos Yerbasanoli.
Okay. Who is Kazakh?
He was undefeated. He's a goon. This is tricky to navigate through because he's still in a coma, a medically induced coma.
He's got a brain bleed.
They performed surgery. This is as far as 10 hours ago for us when we're recording. You guys are going to hear it a day or two later. Hopefully things improve by them, not worsen. Do you want to talk about the fight? Or is it weird? Because guys, you might be thinking, I've seen a lot of, how do we let this happen? this guy was throwing big shots.
Yep, for the especially the first half of the fight.
Look, he was throwing big shots in the second half. He was getting slowed down.
Yeah.
But he came out. One time he pounded his gloves. One time he danced. And that was all in the second half of the fight.
Right, right, right.
He was bleeding. He was busted up. He was bleeding. That's the corner. You know, if you're the referee, it was Tony Weeks.
Tony Weeks.
Been around forever. There was nothing in that that if I was the referee, I would have stopped it other than the shot which in which he did stop it.
Right.
When he was put on his back pockets early, he popped right up. Yo, I'm good. The knockdown that stopped it was in the 12th, which you 12th. Hate to use the words too late. But right. You and I constantly talk about guys, it's constant punishment. It's never one shot. This is since the first time that we've done this show, B, where both happened. There right. was 12 rounds of a brutal fight, then a brutal shot.
Then a brutal knockout, yeah. And so one that, punch knockout in the 12th. This was also in Minnesota, and yes. I don't want to speculate.
About the commission?
Because they're a bare minimum commission.
They are. But there are a lot. There, for whatever reason, I don't know why, B, what was going on culturally in the U.S., there were big fights there. Like Sugar Ray Robinson fought there. I don't know yeah. if it was purses, if there was money to blow around, if it was because there was a leniency in right. the athletic commissions, right. but it's certainly not where you and I think of a fight town.
Fight town. And hasn't been until recently. They've been booking fights there.
At that armory spot that they redid. Yeah, and it's, right. it looks visually great and old.
Right. Right.
You know, so, what do you, I don't know what to say much here. Morrell looked great. This kid looked good. This kid's a goon. Yeah. Your Bossanoli. It's really a matter of if, you know, he landed three, David Morrell will come back with six.
Yeah.
So you're always going to lose that.
It's a good test for Morrell.
A really good test. This kid that's in a coma, you know, yo, may Allah grant the brother Shifa. How we hope everything works out. It was a brutal fight. Look, this kid was landing. Morrell's good, man. I don't know. You know, it's the elephant in the room because this guy is not in a good spot right now. You know, so I don't yeah. know how we want to handle this. You know,
well,
David Morrell is good.
David Morrell's so good that Caleb Plant and David Benavidez, after years of back and forth, came to negotiations so they can avoid fighting this guy. Bottom line.
Because he's got a belt, and yeah. that fight can be made, too,
it,
by the way.
Well, it was
guys.
Ordered.
Yeah.
So they were going to – if Caleb Plant and Benavidez didn't make the fight, Benavidez and Morrell were going to fight.
Look, Cuban, said, Cuban, you know, that pedigree.
Yeah.
Switch hits.
Switch hits.
I'll tell you one thing they don't bring up. On top of all this, what you're sitting there going, what the fuck can I do with this guy? He's right. awkward as fuck.
Yeah.
On well, top of this.
So, like, I kind of credit Ronnie Shields with that. You know, that's who's training him, and he trained Aris yeah. Landy Lara. So
yes.
He's getting, looks like Shields is going to have a nice group of Cuban guys going towards his camp, which is nice. I like the way Ronnie Shields
me too.
Trains his fighters. And yeah, they are awkward. And he's got Jermell Charlo, who's also not the most, you know, normal sort of, you know, he kind of bends.
I want to really bring home the level of awkwardness, though. When you're talking about Charlo and Lara, Cuban southpaw, this kid's really, this yeah, kid almost looks like, yo, is he uncoordinated or that good? And it's that he's that good.
He's that good, yeah.
But yeah. he'll do things earlier when you said about when we were talking about the awkwardness versus athleticism of Roy. Right. And, oh, yo, that looks wrong, but it's not. He knows what's happening. But you don't know what's going on in front of you. Look, I'm not saying it because he was hurt and seriously hurt, you know, and put into a – he's good. Your Bossanoli.
Yeah, he's good. Like you said, 20, I think he was 21-0 undefeated.
Yeah, a goon. Yeah. A goon would take shots, come right back, you know, boop, 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 three, four punch combination. He'd land two to the body. You know, right. Again, 4-2, that's not going to win you the fight. There were some, you know, I saw the scorecards. They were super wide. Look, David Morrell, of course, he was winning that fight. There was some stuff I was giving your boss Anoli in there.
Right, and maybe the judges saw it differently.
Yeah, I thought he did. I thought he did a lot of good work. He landed a lot of shots. He landed a bunch of clean shots. When you saw the numbers, obviously, they super heavily favored David Morrell.
David Morrell.
But you got to think, like, is this guy that good? I'd like to see David Morrell tighten up a little bit on defense.
Uh-huh.
He was getting hit with shit.
Right.
But you say a lot of times, you know, like, sometimes you let a guy, you know, the first few rounds, after a few rounds, you know what the guy has.
Right, right.
And do you feel this was an instance of David Morrell saying, I got this guy, my style?
I think Morrell strikes me as someone who's very confident. You know, I
good
think
the kid too, by the way. The not Cuban,
the Cuban guys have that sort of that aura of confidence. I think it's they've seen every style there is.
I mean, it's valid confidence, right. In most
they fought internationally everywhere.
You're not going to show me anything I haven't seen before.
Right. So I think they're like, okay, you know, that they weather the storm. And that also translated into other sports too. Like the Cuban baseball players always seem really confident too. You know, they're they got a swagger.
No, you're very right. I can see him saying, after a few rounds, I've seen this style. This guy's right. Good, but I've seen this.
And especially with an Eastern Euro guy who they probably fought
million times. Yeah,
eight, right. So with Morrell, I think he. But he's such a dangerous puncher. He has that dog in him too, you know, where he bites down and
he's a problem, man. He's a problem.
I'll tell you right now, man. He's gonna go on our list with Boots and with Virgil Ortiz of guys in that division. We're seeing it. The best thing that happened to the 168 pound division right now is that David Morrell has looked really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right. And when people become so good, they start forcing other people to fight.
Other guys to fight. And I will stand by this 100%. That's why Benavidez and Plant. And hats off to Benavidez and Plant for making the fight.
Agreed.
You know, especially at this, you know, juncture, considering we have these two bozos at 47 that won't fight.
I don't think there's many podcasts saying, yo, word to David Morrell. The reason Benavidez and Plant got made is because they know how good he is.
No one else is saying that.
He's got eight fights. Right. The risk versus reward, everything, meaning whether it's the belt he has, the money.
And thank you, Dimitri Bivol. And Arthur Beterbiev for being too beast at 175
at 78,
pounds.
At 75.
Like, there's nowhere for these guys to go.
Yes.
So they can only go collision course with each other. So,
massive respect to David Morrell when they said to him, yo, you could go. They gave him like three places, say like New York, Vegas, or Minnesota. And he was like, Minnesota. Where did no one speak Spanish?
Right.
They were like Minnesota. He's like, take me there. I want to learn English. Like,
right.
Massive respect for him. A couple times during the interviews, answering in English, or attempting to. Respect for that. For him knowing that you're
also
be a
carried.
Star.
He also carried your boss Anoli to his corner. I don't know if you guys saw that act of sportsmanship.
When he got knocked down and got up and was in bad shape, Tony Weeks grabbed him and David Morrell ran over and took him to his corner to sit him down.
Now, a couple of friends who I've mentioned on the show before, we were talking in a chat, you know, like a group text, and they were like, where the fuck was his corner? You know, they were real. These guys all fought and they were real mad, really upset. Those guys always get upset, you know, when the corner doesn't react properly.
Well, let me ask you.
One of the things that was pointed out to me, let me just finish my thought. They said oftentimes your only communication with the doctors, right, is your corner. So your corner's got to know you. And if there was time spent where they, you know, could have worked on him or gotten him help and the corner didn't do it, you know, again, people that are respected in the game are highly critical of this corner. So And you know, hindsight's 2020. I just want to say that as well.
Okay, I want to start with hindsight's 2020. You and I don't get in there and do this,
right?
We know people that do.
That do, right?
When did they say to you at this point?
Before
the 10th, like
the beginning of the 12th, most of those guys were like,
okay, all right, I'm all right with that.
But before that big punch, one of the guys, I'm not going to name any names.
No. But if they're saying I wouldn't have let him go out in the 12th,
yeah,
I'm okay with that. I'm right. not okay with this is egregious. This was bad in the 6th.
No, they wouldn't have let him go out. And most of those guys shouldn't have let him go out in the 12th.
I'm completely.
Or at least jumped on the ring apron to get Tony to stop the fight in the 12th.
I'm okay with all of that then. But there seems to be, this has to stop, whether it's being put on Tony Weeks. If you want to put the 12th on the corner, you know, and you were a pro, I'm shutting my mouth.
Well, but that's what I did.
There is a lot. When I said hindsight 2020, I'm not talking about ex-fighters. And I'm not talking about guys talking about the 12. I'm talking about like people who are pretending like this guy didn't land anything.
Right.
Like this guy wasn't active.
No.
Didn't land clean shots. Wasn't ripping the body. He was going upstairs, downstairs. A fight like this was needed for David Morrell. I was watching the guy answer in the corner. His translator was there.
Right.
He was responding. Then, you know, it was bleeding out of the mouth and the nose. The nose was definitely broken, or something was broken, meaning an orbital or the nose. Late. And you started telling me that, I'm not arguing with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I acting like this guy was beaten from pillar to post and was, you know, unable to defend himself in the eighth or something.
It wasn't that. It was just late in the fight. But anyway, listen, I hope that your Bosanulli recovers. Guys, I just want to put this out there. His career's over. So this is it. When you have a brain bleed and they have to do surgery like this after, you know. So at the very least, let's just hope he recovers. You know, and at the most, let's hope he recovers and gets back his facilities, because this is it for his career, guys.
I mean, look at Pritchard Cologne. We do not want that.
So anyway, on that same card, did you see the Brian Mendoza
Jason Rosario? Holy shit. I'm always a big fan of when someone cuts a promo and says the wrong city, too. What did he say? Big up Michigan. And
they're what he said?
Yeah. And he was like, Minnesota. No, it's dope here. I've been here 3 times. My bad.
I think Rosario retired, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He's like 20. He's only like 27.
He had that big win over J-Rock. Was unified there.
Uh-huh.
They brought in Brian Mendoza. Brian Mendoza was a late replacement. Was brought in, obviously, to lose. Good kid.
Tough. He'll get a big fight for that.
I like that he'll get a big fight for that.
Absolutely. So we got a halfway decent weekend, depending on, you know, halfway decent. Let's call it halfway decent. There's a guy I want people to go out and watch. I don't know if you guys are hip to him. Are you hip to Sonny Edwards?
Yeah, from the UK.
Yeah. This is maybe the most elusive guy in the game right now. Not any power. So it depends on what you like to watch. But he's fighting Felix Alvarado, who's dangerous.
Felix Alvarado is a good little fighter, man.
Absolutely. Those dudes
out of Nicaragua.
Right.
Punch, punch, punch. Tons of punches. Look, 40 fights, only 2 losses. This guy can fight, man.
He can fight. And he's, I think the last like 4 or 5 guys he's knocked out.
He hasn't lost in 8 years, bro. So you gotta,
bro. This is a huge fight, and he lost
2 in a row. Kazuto Ioka, and Juan Carlos Reveco, both UDs.
Right.
So this is gonna
this
be
is
lots
going
of,
the distance, guys.
Bet
the over. Yeah. And
it's probably really high, like 11.
Yeah,
11 and a half.
So guys, tune into this. This is gonna be an interesting clash of styles. It's going to be an interesting fight. And
you heard and hipped me to the fact that Sonny Edwards is in line to face Bam if he wins.
Yes. Yes, because it'll unify the flyweight, because he holds the IBF flyweight division.
So if Felix Alvarado could pull it out, which isn't crazy.
No, but Sonny Edwards, what I'm saying is Sonny Edwards is really good.
He is. This guy, so is Felix Alvarado. And yeah, man, hasn't lost in 8 years.
No, that's and that's what I'm saying. Like, when I looked at Edwards' opponent, right, because before they booked the opponent, they like Edwards and Bam had been talking shit through like promoters and everything else for like, like 8 months. By the way, Sonny Edwards is, he's cool, man. Like, he's got a dope sneaker collection and shit. He rocks like Supreme and Kith and all that shit. Like,
are you going to do an impersonation or no?
No, he's a mega hip hop head. I just got a kick out of his Instagram. Cause he just looks like he looks like a Manhattan.
He's just like kid. A head. Right. He looks like a head.
Yeah, so I was like, "Oh, look at this hype beast, dude!" Like, so I immediately like him.
Guys, for whatever it's worth, if Felix Alvarado sounds familiar, Rene Alvarado, that's his twin brother who also fights.
Yeah. So I think this is gonna be a barn burner, and Edwards isn't one of those. He's not one of those cuties that like runs around the ring and you can't catch him, and he throws like three punches. He just doesn't have a lot of power, but he's very elusive. But he stays in the pocket, so he's fun to watch. Anyway, check that one out. That's on Friday, that fight.
Is that on the zone?
Yeah, I think it's on the zone. I think. Fuck.
Yeah, you don't do your homework. I gotta do everything around here.
Oh, give me a fucking break. Really want to get into that?
A little bit.
Well, we're recording on a Wednesday. Why are we recording on a Wednesday?
Predictions.
Sonny Edwards, Felix Alvarado. I got Edwards in a UD. Close, tight, nip and tuck, UD.
Felix Alvarado, upset special, split decision.
In a splitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Sonny Edwards, successful defense. Friday, the launch pad, high profile. All right, what else we got on the list, buddy? Zanabek Sheffield.
Zanabek. I don't know, man. He's not going to get a decision over there.
It's in Sheffield.
He's not going to get a decision over there. I feel I'm not going to change it, but I should.
You're changing it?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to change it, but I should. All right. Zanabek, Alan Canuli versus Denzel Bentley. I think Zanabek's got a strap that was basically given to him.
Yeah.
I think he's got the WBO. This look, I mean,
are you a fan of his?
People are hyped about him.
Right. I want to hear your opinion. I purposely didn't ask you privately. Because I wanted
to
hear what
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, I'm not either.
I don't see it. Am I picking Denzel Bentley to beat him? No.
Denzel Bentley.
Denzel Bentley.
This fucking Denzel Bentley.
This fucking Denzel Bentley. I mean, dude, look, Denzel Bentley was beaten by Felix Cash. It's like, I don't know how you look. You and I have said on the air, once you get a belt, no matter how you get it, like, we're not with the gimmies and tomato cans, man. The only time you can be a champion, get a gimme, is if you're one of these maniacs who fights like five great guys in a row and you want, you know, a payday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a couple times Canelo has done it and it's a free pass for me.
Right.
Others, it's not that hate him.
Hey, listen, to go back to the Sunday, it's a pro bellum card. So I don't know where they air those fights.
What is
the Sonny Edwards, Felix?
I hope that we can even watch it here.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm not too big on on what's his face, Janabek. I don't know.
I mean, me, like, look, neither one of us are apprehensive to say we were wrong.
Right.
If this guy, you know, he's got 12 fights. If after 16, 18 fights, hey, this guy's really good. He's beating really good guys. Then, okay, I'm seeing, like, you know, his televised fights, I've just seen coming straight in, throwing wide shots. He's obviously strong.
Yeah.
Those shots are landing, so guys are going down. You know, it seems very Edgar Berlanga-esque.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Where I guess it looks good.
When, yeah, and you know, then ESPN has like an affinity with guys like that, it seems. You know what I mean? Like they want like the big, like sort of knockout crude punchers. But yeah, I agree. I don't think Denzel Bentley's gonna upset his apple cart. So I'm going to go ahead and, I don't know. Hey, listen, man, I hope he proves me wrong.
Oh, I like when we're
Alan proved Canale.
Wrong. Yeah. When we say someone stinks and they don't, or, hey, we're not sold on them and they don't, we just get right. another great fighter to watch.
Right.
So I want to be wrong.
Right. I'm not, I don't want to say he stinks. I want to say I'm not sold on him.
Oh, I absolutely will not say he stinks. Right. I've seen very little. I've seen him against limited competition. He's knocking people around with crude. Very crude style, you know. People can do that and reach a certain level, and then they'll get exposed by a really good guy there. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
If he becomes fun to watch, I'll even enjoy that.
Sure.
You know, like, yo, this guy's always in wars, and his chin is iron or something like that. We don't even know that yet, because and Denzel Bentley's not going to give us
fucking
the answer.
Denzel Bentley.
Well, all we can, I don't saying we hope for. It seems. Sadistic, but like when you get these type of fights, you just all right. Can I get a
highlight reel KO?
Top 10 yeah. highlight reel KO. If I gotta watch Denzel Bentley, who lost to Felix Cash, that's all you can really hope.
Right,
someone gets sparked out clean, you know.
So that's gonna be on ESPN Plus, guys. I'm gonna pick Janabek by KO.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Me too.
And then on DAZN on Saturday.
Oi.
You just got it looks like a junior welterweight showcase. I really don't care to sit here and break down these fights.
Neither do I.
It's Montana Love is headlining.
We've gone on record saying we don't want to see him booked anymore. So no,
he may be out of the names, the least aesthetically pleasing fighter in boxing right now, out of guys who have a name. Montana Love has a name. I think he's minus 260 to beat. The dangerous and well-known Steve Spark.
Yes.
You got Richardson Hitchens, Yomar Alamo. You got Christian Tapia and Tomas, I believe it's Matisse.
Yeah.
This is, I think, to get Hitchens and Love eventually in the ring together. Okay.
Yeah. Great. I mean, if you guys want to watch some welters.
Yeah, mid-level junior welters have at it. If you guys want to write us in and tell us that you see something with any of these guys, maybe for our knockers out there, this is the first assignment.
Yeah, our homework.
Yeah, so guys,
if you see anything in any of these
if you
six
see anything
guys,
in any of these guys, I'll probably watch these fights. Richardson Hitchens is a local guy. He's a Brooklyn kid. He's from Flatbush, Haitian cat, or Haitian American, I should say. He's got a lot of skills, not a lot of power. I enjoyed watching him come up through the local amateur ranks. I'm hoping his career takes off. He's had a relatively tough-ish go of it as far as finding a home on a promotional. Outfit that really gets behind him. So,
well, something tells me after this performance on Saturday, Montana Love's going to have a similar problem.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's not at all fun. This is the guy that brought the dog into the ring. He had like a puppy with him or something.
Yeah.
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 I don't like his gimmick, but anyway, that's Saturday the 12th. And
that's not during the day, is it? that card?
No.
So that's going against the Zanabek fight. So yeah, I'll watch the ESPN card live and then go over to the zone when that's over, because
fast forward.
Well, yeah, and also be like fights that aren't looked at as big or important. It's you can avoid spoilers.
Sure.
Like I was able to record the David Morrell card and not have anyone ruin it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Whereas like you're usually at risk of that. So I went into that at whatever, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., not know, like.
Yeah, what, like 10 years ago, I found out the hard way that you're a weirdo who tapes live events. And I think I sent you like a text like, hey.
Well, you're a stupid moron. Well, who's more of a weirdo? A stupid moron like you who's watching two fights at the same time?
Yeah. Two fights. No, this was hours after the fight, by the way, when I text you. You're like, oh my God, I didn't watch it yet. I avoided all social media
That's true.
You're I didn't do anything. I haven't even looked at my phone.
Correct.
I thought this was an emergency.
Correct.
I wanted to see what you thought about something.
All of that is correct.
Fucking nut job.
One sentence. Did you watch the fights yet? That's all you needed. And I'm the wacko.
Yeah, you are the wacko that everyone has to cater to you.
Everyone. No, one of my good friends has to write a sentence.
I knew it during the World Series. I texted Paz. I said, did you watch? Are you behind?
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. You have to look, we have to go out of our way.
Yes, this is very difficult.
I have to do extra work.
Thumbs.
I have to do extra work to find out if Winnie the Paz is has watched it yet.
This Irish Billy, did you see that Cayman? Big loss last night?
Right.
It's only on the cover of every newspaper, the headline at ESPN.
He came in to defend me and do the mail. Can I just, off topic, I have a genuine dislike of LeBron James. Because when we record, we usually record on Tuesday nights. Tonight's Wednesday. And Wednesday night's the doubleheader on ESPN, and Thursday night's the doubleheader on TNT, followed by the best show on television inside the NBA with Shaq and Chuck. But I have a problem with, I don't just have a problem with LeBron. I have a problem with people that like LeBron.
Okay. I have no feeling towards LeBron. I don't think I like him. I like his gimmick though, like where he reads like the first two pages of like important.
I like that meme literature. That there's like eight. There's the meme is like him reading the first page of eight great books.
Yeah, and it's like, ooh. And he's got like AirPods in. He's like listen, he's you know whatever.
The book's like upside down.
Yeah, the book was upside down in one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't know how to read.
Irish Billy.
Yes.
He never had.
We've got mail, right? Does this Irish Billy know how to read?
We've got mail.
I'm not sure.
We got mail from the Knockers. We got a whole lot of Knockers in our inbox.
Well, I thought you didn't like it, Billy.
I'm just feeling it out.
It grew on him now. Look at him. Look out. Look at the smile on
his blushing. Uh-huh. It's making me blush, as I say.
Uh-huh. What, it's getting a little hotsy totsy?
A little bit.
Or hotsy notsy.
Whoa. Whoa.
All right, we got a message from David here. Hey guys, I'd be interested to hear your opinions on which weight classes are the most stacked at this point. Ooh. In recent history, welter has been the most glorified division and regarded as the deepest and most talented. A quick look at BoxRec rankings tells a different story. There's next to zero name recognition past the top 10, even if you are a diehard boxing fan. I know you guys both praise the durability of the lower weight classes, but what division interests you the most at this point in time or think has the most talent at the top level? I'm not going to lie. Heavyweight, while not the best division in my opinion, has gotten significantly more interesting since Klitschko lost to Fury and AJ. Also, I can't believe Klitschko Fury was 7 years ago. Cheers, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Dave, first of all, we've been scolded by Irish Billy about our long-winded response.
I'm gonna just respond real quick, and then I already have
it. Okay, because we're not allowed to talk.
No,
it's not true. It's not true.
Okay, yes, heavyweights had a bit of a renaissance as far as competition-wise.
It has.
I'm very happy with it. The most stacked division. I'm just going to be robotic here for my Knockers. Mm-hmm. This the most stacked division, in my opinion, is 135 pounds. talent wise.
Agree with everything B said. And that welterweight, I don't know if Dave was talking about historically or recently, meaning the last decade, but people who've been saying over the last decade that it was welterweight were just really uninformed and wrong. It was very top heavy. And we're going back to Floyd and back.
Right.
It was top heavy then.
Right.
And it continued to be through the run of the PBC guys. It's been Bud and Spence since 2018.
Right.
And the years before that, all those guys that were fighting each other, meaning Danny's fighting Porter, Porter's fighting Thurman, none of those guys were great.
No. A good division. In that parallel that era, of course, we had the 168 pound tournament, and we had at the tail end of that, we had the cruiserweight tournament. So you had other divisions that were on fire.
Yeah, for a little bit, 18 months, right. 24 months.
That's it. We can't talk anymore.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk anymore, Dave.
Great job, Dave. All around.
He's got a clock. He's got a clock.
All right. Next knocker message is from Tyler. What's up, fellas? Question: who is Lomachenko's most impressive win? To me, it's the win over Gary Allen Russell Jr. Third pro fight for a belt and in a weight class that Gary ruled for the next 8 years. Thanks for providing a podcast for true boxing fans. Tyler from Connecticut.
Thanks for listening, Tyler. You want me to go first, B, or you want to go first? Guillermo Rigondeaux quitting on his stool is an undefeated Guillermo Rigondeaux quitting on his stool against Lomachenko, frankly, just being like, I can't do anything with this guy. And Rigondeaux was in my pound for pound. So not just beating a pound for pound guy in a good fight, dominating to the point where he quits on his stool. Thank you.
Nicholas Walters. Goodbye.
Because he was undefeated and so feared?
Yes.
And he quit on a stool?
Correct.
Do you know Nicholas Walters is coming back?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's what I heard.
From where? Where'd he go? No one knows.
I guess he was just in Jamaica chilling.
Couldn't find him. Boy. Lord of mercy.
Lord.
All right.
Billy.
Next one. That was great. Perfect.
What is this Brendan doing playing on his computer?
I don't know.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This next one is from Bobby.
Oh.
Hey, guys. Bobby the mailman here. I feel like this guy's trying to steal my gimmick, but hoping all is well. Much love and God bless you all. You guys really help pass the time at work. We're all walking around in 100 degree weather we have here in Los Angeles during the fall. I wish that was a joke. Anyways, love the show and can honestly say I agree with both Vin and B on the boxing talks. And I wanted to throw out a random question for you fellas. Billy included. Yes.
He's part of the gang.
Can you repeat that again?
No, exceeding the time limit. You only get one shot.
Which part? All right. It's quite random question is. Top 3 to 5 bands, if you could only listen to them for the rest of this beautiful but stressful life we all live. That's all for now. Sorry, it was a long write. It wasn't, Bobby. It was very, very succinct. But it's been a minute since I got a chance to write. Peace to you all.
Do you
pray for
all? All right, I have a question to you too. Do you two take the word bands as meaning instruments?
Yeah, like bands or like.
I would answer with a hip hop group in my top three.
You would.
I would. And I would argue.
I took it as like a band.
Me too.
I would argue though.
Okay. We can't argue. We don't have time.
Slayer, Bad Brains, Black Flag. I know Billy's hip hop one too.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go, Billy.
Mine would be Tribe, which I would consider a band and argue about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to span the genres here. Tool, because of my my wife, and if I couldn't listen to them, my life would be much more stressful to not be able to listen to them with her. And my third is going to be because of Vinny actually out on tour making me a Phil Lynott fan. Huge Thin Lizzy mark. Huge.
Wow.
And I can't, you know, couldn't be Irish Billy without naming an Irish rock band.
They could have easily gone in my three that I rattled off.
The Beatles, Beach Boys, ooh, and
Boys.
Huh?
I said I like the Beach Boys answer.
Yeah. And oh, this is tough.
Well, like, so far the five that you guys have named could have gone in mine.
I can't even oh man, this is hard for me. And you guys are gonna fucking probably, can I say, like, can he be a part of a band?
Sure.
All right, Michael McDonald.
Ruin the Doobies.
Mm-hmm. Greatest singer ever.
Ruin the Doobie Brothers.
All right, good one. That was a little different. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bobby the Mailman.
Real quick, sidebar. B, someone wrote, any news on Nicholas Walters, who was scheduled to come back a couple of weeks ago, and it never happened? That's literally the only thing I can find.
Bro, he's gone. He's gone.
How dare
bro.
You? Okay.
He's gone. No one can find him.
Sorry, Billy. Proceed.
Don't apologize to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got AV in the house.
Yo,
peace,
yo,
gang. Baby. It's as painful as it is safe to say Lomachenko has slowed down. This is my
assessment. There you go again.
With consideration of his year of inactivity and valorous service to this country, to his country. I'm honestly afraid he slowed down and regrettably has little chance of mopping up Haney at this stage. It seemed even the sparring experience was physically employed advantageously by Ortiz than in favor of Lomachenko, whereas we know this would have been infinitely far the case 3 years ago. Sorry, this guy's using a lot of big words here. Mm. I have to disagree with my brother Paz on his Caleb, how can I be down plant perception? I identify with what Pazzy said, and it irks me just as well, but it doesn't seem forced coming from Plant. I think it is genuinely the way he hones his skills and would otherwise be uncomfortable and ineffective. I think the shenanigans more so apply to Montana Love and Chris Colbert. I'm sure you realize boxers cannot.
Dickheads, yeah.
I'm sure you realize boxers cannot dance. The only exception being Loma. Otherwise, show me the boxer who can truly dance, and I'll show you a bozo bop bag.
Sugar Ray
Love
Robinson.
To hear your guys' take on prospects Floyd Schofield, Vito Malenicki, and Carl James Martin. And to round this off, send prayers my way if you can. Currently hospitalized with Horner syndrome, a very rare and dangerous condition, and I'm only 41. The neurology team is treating me are baffled. Much love and peace.
We're sorry to hear that, Bob.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
AV's a loyal knocker.
He is.
Hopefully, this stupid name you came up with puts a smile on AV's face.
Yeah.
I think Vito Milnicki stinks. Who are the other?
Yes.
Floyd Schofield.
Stinks. I like Floyd Schofield.
Carl.
Listen.
James Martin.
I don't know that.
I like Schofield. Correct's big on Schofield, I think.
I like Floyd Schofield.
Shouts to Correct.
Yeah, big shout to Correct.
Yeah. Shout to Craig Satari too.
Craig ahead.
Yeah, we've been chatting mucho about the fights. He is the best.
Well, was there a first question in there, B? I mean, Billy, when he was talking about
he was just talking about his opinion that disagreed with you, Paz.
Right, that Caleb Plant. Yeah, okay. So he probably likes Caleb Plant. That's cool. Yeah, Caleb Plant's a good fighter. I just think he's a bozo.
I do too.
I don't know much.
We have some inside baseball on Caleb Plant too, though.
Yeah, we do. The third kid he named, I don't know that I'm familiar with.
I'm not.
I watched him and didn't know. Vito Milnicki stinks. And Floyd Schofield is good. I think he's going to be good.
Vin, if you have to pick Vito Milnicki or Denzel Bentley, who stinks worse?
like to attach my
your hate tonight on this episode, Denzel Bentley. That's it. That was the best part of the episode. And Vito,
no, that's more like why is a guy with a belt fighting him? I don't
that shit just popped me, both of them. So
no, I hear you. I know, look, you know, there's long been the great white hope joke.
Yep.
And sometimes it just doesn't apply and guys are just wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Milnicki was a touted as a prodigy and
yeah. I think
I don't think he's that good.
People used to call great white hope. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And I don't think he's good. And that's fine if someone thinks they're good, you know.
Yep.
Time will tell. It always does. This is the sport where, you know, that happens.
I just saw him fight the other night.
Yeah, he just fought.
Yeah. I was at the, he was on the Wilder card.
I think he's going to, you know, he's still a baby, like really young.
He's a young kid.
I think he's going to, you know, get when and if sometimes, just sometimes people are kind of a little bit local attractions.
He lost already, right?
Yeah, he lost already. Yeah. But I think he's going to lose bad. Get battered by someone if they decide to put him in there, you know, tough.
Right. Hey, AV, heal up, buddy.
Yeah, man, get well soon. Everything will be good.
We actually have one more, and just realized it is from AV, but I'll allow it because it's short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, quick rant. Could someone explain the purpose of Haney's dad being in the ring for the Lomachenko promo? Can he just respectfully get the hell out of the way sometimes? The same way Lopez Sr. made me realize how cool Angel is, this Bill fellow makes Lopez Sr. seem likable.
Bill Haney's a known dickhead. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, why are they marching the dad in here? But, you know, ESPN, and I like him, because he is a nice guy, but the Mark Kriegel dad relationship, every fucking, it's the recurring mm-hmm. theme. Mm-hmm. I think it went with that to bring him in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, it seems so strange to me that you have Devin Haney, who's now the undisputed world champion at 135 pounds, and he's got to hold his dad's hand going into the ring. It was weird. The timing was strange. The aesthetics were weird. I agree, AV. Get this guy out of the ring. Let him be the trainer. Find whatever manager, whatever his capacity is. Leave it at that. We don't need him in the ring for the promo that they were doing. It was unnecessary. It was awkward. And Vinny,
B mentioned that some of our feelings about Caleb Plant, not as a fighter, as a person, we have some inside baseball. We also do. With
yep.
with the Haneys, that we'll never say who or why or how we know.
I mean, it's so many
solid information. Well, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm speaking about one particular person with me.
I know every boxing person I know.
I know a mid-level or lower fighter who knocked Haney out cold in sparring for people who go, oh, you just say he's got a weak chin because Linares, who's good, hurt him at the end of a round. He was on Queer Street from a guy who right. no one would probably know. Honestly, if right. I said the name, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only reason I'm not saying the name is because if I said the name, that leads to the people knowing the gym. You know, right. the gym, then they know who told me. I know someone who's around them often. He's a known dickhead, Bill Haney. I don't like him. Again, it's very tough to say once B and I have inside scoop on people or people we are very close with that know them. It's really hard to switch that off when you know yeah. things to be factual. Not this guy said through this guy, this said through this guy, said to this guy. When right. someone you know or care about has had numerous run-ins with people, it stops becoming, oh, I heard this through the grapevine. It starts becoming, yo, this right. happened. You right. know, I know someone who was there when he got sparked clean out by a guy who people wouldn't even know. I right. know people who are there that the Haneys have said bigoted things around.
Mm-hmm.
I know people there who saw them pull like Floyd behavior. I don't mean I don't like Floyd. I mean the like Entourage, the I'm the bit Floyd can pull Floyd baby because he's Floyd.
Because he's fucking Floyd. He earned it.
Yeah, you earned that. You earned that Sugar Ray Robinson, pink Cadillac. Right. I have 100 people with me all the time because you earned it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that type of behavior has already been reported back to me about the Haney camp. I just don't like them, you know. And I've said before he won camp, way before this, when we started the show, however long it's been now, 2 years?
Coming up.
Has it been? You guys, I've stayed consistent with that, you know? Mm-hmm. The only thing I didn't stay consistent with was Shakur Stevenson. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And I said at the beginning of the show, I think Shakur and Stevenson and Mick Conlon are overrated top ranked guys who will get beat, you know?
Right. And you were correct about Mick Conlon, and you've sort of changed gears on Shakur.
Absolutely. I have.
Well, let's hope that Shakur stays out of harm's way. And, you know, after the events happened last week, it's
The guy's hanging out with rappers, dudes that are shooting dice. People are getting their heads blown off and he's hanging around there. Like, come on, man. Someone around this kid. Come on.
Reel him in. All right,
guys.
That's it for the mailbag. The more knockers in my mailbox, the better. So,
I'll put knockers in.
I think I'm starting to like it.
You are.
Look at that dude. He just turned a corner. One episode. That was it.
He did half an episode. Billy, give out your social media.
Bywood_bullet. And like I said, I'll probably follow you and not let you follow me if you request. So,
do you want any of these maniacs knowing about your company in real life?
Meh.
Okay. I meant for business purposes, but yeah. All right. Okay. B.
I_no_that_kid@ on Instagram and at the Killer B 24 on Twitter. You guys know it now.
Very violent. Very violent.
No, you can't steal my gimmick. Mm-hmm. Just don't steal. Don't get the fuck out of here. He made me do it first so he could do that.
Killer.
Man. I kill bees that might sting you. I protect people like you. You might be allergic.
You're a killer of the environment. We need them.
Right.
Ecosystem. Ecosystem.
Yeah. I mischaracterized bees and wasps, and now I'm getting protested and canceled.
I am at Vinny_Paz. My new name on there is the Big Ragu.
Yeah, yo, I saw that today.
Dick. Ironically enough, we talked about what's the dumb thing? What do they call themselves? The Lions Den box. What do they call them?
Lions Only? Lions. Ooh, the Charlos?
No, there's like a group of dudes who hate hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I forgot their name. Yes.
I got attacked by tons of them for defending Bud. So I guess piled on.
Ayo. Can you send me so that I can respond and defend your honor?
It's so buried now from when that happened.
Oh, okay.
It was from when Bud cut the promo on the video about it. And One dude was so dumb and he kept going and he was like a stalker and he was so dumb.
I'm gonna look. I didn't even know this.
Yeah, on IG at BoxCutterPazzy, we have a ton of new merch at jmtstore.com. So go there. And Irish Billy says the Knock 'Em Out the Box t-shirts are in production.
That is a fact.
And what's happening soon? You got some news, right?
I do. Next week, the 18th, my new record drops, Tortured in the Name of God's Unconditional Love.
Speaking of succinct, just a nice succinct title.
Well, you know how I get down.
Yeah.
You want to call it Tortured in the Name, jerk off? Go ahead.
... That's what I like that. Mm-hmm. In 20 years, when we're talking about all the records, we'll be like, oh, remember when Tortured came out?
Mm-hmm. It'll just be that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's dope. That's dope. You want it to be that people refer to it as that. It means you're talking about it.
Right.
Yeah, go get that. Go get that record.
What is the how do they write into us?
KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. It's KEOTBboxing@gmail.com. Knockers, let us know what you think. And Billy will read your emails, and he'll shine the light like they do for comedians when they go too long. If me and Billy go too long.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll talk to y'all soon.
All right, guys.
Peace.
Peace.
Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, B. Knock him out.